thank you, Jesus. Your name, a name above every other name. Not just a name, but a life, but a person, a God. We thank you that you have come into our lives and you have changed us. Continue the change agent today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Message for this morning is a strange way to express love. A strange way to express love. If you've been following baseball, the Los Angeles Dodgers have just completed one of the greatest winning streaks in their history, winning 16 out of 17 games. And it made me think about one of the Dodgers' greatest players who played in Brooklyn. His name is Jackie Robinson. And why I thought about him is because he made his major league debut the same month in which I was born and the same year in which I was born, April in 1947. He was the first African-American to play in the major leagues. But what struck me about his particular story, the insults that he faced, they were legendary. Whole opposing teams would come out and shout insults to Jackie Robinson, insults and racial slurs, and they would tell him to go back to the jungle, and many other things that I cannot even tell you. And my particular city in which I was born, Philadelphia, their team was notorious on Jackie. I was encouraged by their manager. Even Jackie's own players did not want to play with him and threatened to strike rather than play alongside of a black man. But I'm glad that the Dodger management did not go along and told them that if they were not happy playing with the Dodgers, they could seek employment elsewhere. So that stopped that. And despite all of this, all of the abuse, all of the insults, Jackie Robinson was named Rookie of the Year in 1947. He led the Dodgers to pennants in 47, 49, 52, 53, 55, and 56. He led them to the World Series 47, 49, 52, 53, 55, and 56. He was a batting champion in 1949. They say that Jackie Robinson was the most aggressive base runner to ever play in the major leagues. He disrupted pitchers. They hated to see him get on base. He stole a record 19 stolen bases. He stole home. Y'all didn't get that. You missed that. If you know anything about baseball, he stole home 19 times. Unprecedented. And he was eventually inducted into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. Such an impact on the game that his number 42 was retired by all major league teams. Sporting News ranked him number 44 out of 100 of the greatest baseball players of all time. But I'm always amazed, how did he excel after all the insults? How do you not become discouraged and quit? That fascinates me. A strange way to express love. Turn, if you would, with me, and the story will make sense in a minute. Turn with me to Matthew, St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. same story that was read, just a different book. Same story, different book. Matthew chapter 15, and starting at verse 21. And the story goes, she was a Canaanite. Now, it was one thing to be a Gentile, but to be a Canaanite. The Canaanites were the lowest of the low in the eyes of Israel, in the eyes of Jews. And here we see in this story, in Matthew 15, starting at verse 21, we see a mother who is stirred with pity over the condition of her daughter. Her daughter is demon-possessed, the Bible says. And all I know is that the mother wants help for her daughter. So she comes to the place where she believes she could find it. She comes to Jesus. In agony, she calls to Jesus. In her humility, she didn't bring her daughter to Jesus. She didn't ask Jesus to go to her house. She just came to Jesus and knew that if I can only touch him and talk to him, everything would be all right. Came to Jesus. No other hope but Jesus. And she cries, "Have mercy on me, Lord." Now look at the passage, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Now I want you to look at this. This almost seems impossible. This can't be Jesus. This can't be the Bible that you now hold. Strange way to express love. The Bible says, "But he answered her not a word." I don't know how you feel about that, but that seems pretty rude. That doesn't even seem like Jesus. And the Bible goes on, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." She was irritating the disciples. So they told Jesus, "Have her get away from us. Send her away." And when Jesus did not answer a word, the Bible said she bowed her head and left. Okay, I was wondering if somebody was following me. Okay, are you awake? You're awake now. That's not what the Bible says. She did not lower her head and leave. I'm amazed at that kind of faith. Question for you. I want you to raise your hand if this is true. Have you ever been insulted? Raise your hand. I put both of them up for me. Now, some of the kids didn't raise their hand, and that's okay. You will a few years from now. Another question. Now, I want you to raise your hand. It's going to take a little bit more courage. Have you ever been insulted by a church member or in the church? Raise your hand. Question. Another question. Why are you still here? Why didn't you quit? Why did you continue coming back to the church? Well, I know why in my case. Because the only hope I have is in Jesus. That's why I'm here. Some people, when they are insulted, you ever had anybody tell you that you could not do something? You know how that others react to that? When you tell them they can't do it, they decide they're going to do it anyhow. Am I right? That's how they are. They won't quit. Some of you have been hurt. Your motives have been questioned. You've been lied on, slandered, dishonored, disrespected, but you're still here. And then the Bible goes on. After Jesus did not answer her, disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." Now listen to this. Verse 24. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so she bowed her head and she went away. Is that what the Bible says? She left the church. Is that what the Bible says? No. The Bible says, then she came and did what, everybody? What's your Bible? My Bible says, and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Now, this is going to shock you. What a strange way to express love. This doesn't sound like the Jesus that we love. Look at verse 26. But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Now, folk, come on. Now, you have to admit those fighting words. Some of you would fight over that. Why did this lady accept this? I don't know about you, but I find it noteworthy. First of all, the woman's love for her daughter. She wasn't into it. That particular time, it didn't matter about offending. She was not interested in correcting Jesus' flawed thinking. Not really, but what she could have been, her flawed thinking about her. She was not worried about the politically correct. So she wasn't going to get bent out of shape if somebody opened the door for her. She was in a desperate need. She loved her daughter. She saw her daughter in pain. And she wanted her daughter to be helped. Evidently, she was able. Now I want you to get this. This lady was smart. She was able to look at Jesus in his face. That's what we don't see when we look at the text. She was able to look in Jesus' face and recognize a compassionate Savior. Through those remarks, she knew that Jesus must have been doing and talking about something else. She was able to see mercy and grace in Jesus through those words. The silence didn't put her off. Jesus didn't tell her to leave like the disciples. She wasn't trying to stop Jesus from his mission to the lost sheep of Israel. She just wanted to stop by and get a few crumbs off the table. Oh, help. There's sometimes that we just need to come to get some crumbs off of his table. I've just stopped by to get some of the blessings. Calling her a dog didn't stop her. This lady was smart. She understood what Jesus was saying. You see, Jesus, when he used the word dogs, there's dogs and then there's dogs. There's the dogs that run wild. Do you got any in Fallbrook? Any dogs that are not that run wild? I don't know. It's probably rural enough. Probably if you were out walking early in the morning, you might run up across a couple of them. Probably don't have any in Marietta and Temecula. You've built up too much. There's no room for dogs, right? They're all in the backyard. But in Fallbrook, there's probably a pack of dogs running wild. There were dogs in the Middle East in the time in which Jesus lived that ran wild. But Jesus wasn't talking about that dog. He was talking about the other dog, Baxter dog. Karen, you know the dog at home? The one you love. You know the one that's under the table or walking by the table, so that when you, now you don't feed the dog scraps from the table, but if something drops on the floor, they vacuum it up. Am I right? Talking about that kind of dog. You know what she says? I'll be that. Just to get some blessings from God. Isn't that why you come? Isn't that why you show up every Saturday? Just give me some crumbs of your blessing. I mean, that, what a smart lady. What a faith she had. But have to admit, strange way to express love. If I can just get a little from the master's table. You know what Jesus said to her? Verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And the daughter was healed from that very hour. As far as I know, there's only two, only this is the second instance where Jesus pronounced a great faith. One on the centurion servant in chapter 8 of Matthew, and this particular case on this woman. We don't even know her name, but Jesus pronounced that she had great faith. A Canaanite. Great faith. She recognized that Jesus could supply her need. You know what Jesus was doing? Jesus was challenging her faith. I know it seems like a strange way to express love. But maybe not when we think about it. If you turn your attention, just you can write it down, and maybe not turn, you can turn later. Luke, the 23rd chapter. Maybe it's not a strange way to express love. Luke 23 and verse 35. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. The Bible says, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And in verse 39 of Luke 23, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Then save yourself. You know what Jesus said when all of this was going on? You find this in verse 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Sounds like a strange way to express love, to die on a cross. I am so glad he did. Do I understand all of it? No, in fact, it's going to be the science throughout eternity. When we get into the kingdom, you know one of the things we're going to study? The miracle of the cross. The great book, Desire of Ages, said about this story. Desire of Ages, page 402, said, this was the only miracle that Jesus wrought while on this journey. He wished to relieve the suffering of the woman and at the same time leave an example. An example of mercy toward those who were despised. Jesus knew that he would not be around much longer with the disciples, so he wanted to leave a message. He wished to leave a message so that his church would not be an exclusive church. Help me, Jesus. He wanted to leave a message so that those who were interested, this is a quote from Desire of Ages, interested in working for others besides their own. The problem with the disciple, you know why Jesus said this and did this to this woman? The disciples held this view that if you were not like them, you were just like the dogs. You were low as a dog. That was the idea that the disciples had. Jesus wanted to dispel that because he knew that his church had to be for everyone. Amen? The problem with the disciples that the disciples felt that Jesus dispensed his grace too freely. And I quote again from Desire of Ages, he would show that his love was not to be circumscribed to race or nation. And that's exactly how we believe as Seventh-day Adventists. Amen? We believe in reaching everyone. In fact, oftentimes, and we had a discussion in my Sabbath school class about this, and I've said it. When someone asked Christians, are we to love everybody? Someone said, yeah, and I agree, Jody. But that's a tough one. That's a tough one. But we are admonished to love everyone. But you cannot do that on your own. That's God given. For the church to be the church, it had to be willing to be tested. Take the insults and the disagreements and the differences and lay them aside to get to Jesus. Amen. It has to be willing to do that. I didn't tell this in the first service, but I'll tell it here. One of the things that happened to Jackie Robinson and why he was chosen to be the first African-American in the major leagues, there were many other African-American ball players. There was a whole league of African-American players. Why was Jackie Robinson the first? He was the first because Branch Rickey called him in the office before he started and just laid into him, insulting him, saying a lot of things to him to see how he would react. And he reacted in the proper way. And that's why he was the first. He had to be able to endure. He knew what he was going to face. He tested him, and he passed the test. Didn't leave, didn't quit, didn't give up. I told the story in the first service. I'll tell it again, and I may even have already shared it. After you've been around the church for a couple of years, you get to saying the same stories, and you don't know which one you've said. So if you heard it, well, here it is again. I don't even remember if I shared it, but I'll share it because it's on my heart. As a teenager, my brother, I have an older brother who, he's kind of the jokester. He's the life of the party. When he's around, the whole room is laughing. That's who he is. That's who he is. I don't remember what precipitated, but I do remember the event. I don't know if he remembers the event, but I remember the event. Something was said in a room. We had a lot of guests, and, you know, the house was pretty crowded. And whatever he said, I don't remember what he said, but I went up to him and slapped him as hard as I could in front of everyone. Some of you are having a hard time even hearing that, that your preacher would slap someone as a teenager. That was a teenager. Jesus has gotten to me since then. Amen? Don't worry. You don't have to worry. You can relax. You know what I remember about that event? Really, when I think about it now, in fact, when I see my brother the next time, I'll ask him about it, does he remember it? He should have read back and floored me. That's what he should have done. But he didn't do that. You know what he did? He just sat there with the most disappointed, hurt look that anyone could ever have. And I never forgot it. I wish he had have hit me. I would have felt better. I probably wouldn't have been telling the story. I wonder why he reacted that way. Why did he take that? Because he loved me. Isn't that wonderful? How much more does God love you and I? Oh, so much more. So much more. There are many strange ways to express love. Nothing more strange than a God coming down to this earth and dying on the cross for you and I. What a God we serve. Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, we like to thank you. We are still here. Some have been hurt in the church. Some right even here have been hurt by things said, things done to them in the church. But that's not important. We're all here. We're right under the table. We're waiting for the crumbs to fall. We thank you that we've held up. And Lord, in these last and difficult days that we will find ourselves in, we're going to need much more of God's Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, to make it. Strengthen us. Encourage us. And let us not turn from the only hope we have, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for expressing your love on Calvary's cross for us. In Jesus' name, we thank you.